Future of Work Florida.
Welcome to the Future of Work Florida podcast, brought to you by the Florida Chamber of Commerce and Florida Chamber Foundation. This podcast series is dedicated to connecting Florida's business leaders with the solutions and resources available to secure Florida's workforce talent. Today, we have the pleasure of welcoming Chad Sorensen, President and CEO of HR Florida, to provide thought leadership on behalf of Florida's job creators, HR leaders, and hiring managers as we work to win Florida's talent war.
Well, let's talk about HR Florida.
Yes.
So HR Florida, of course, is constantly engaged with Florida's HR professionals and hiring managers regarding the needs of Florida's job creators and workforce. So what are some of the current challenges you are hearing about that Florida's employers are facing?
Well, I think in this case, Florida employers are facing some of the same challenges that all employers are facing, and that's finding the right talent and retaining the right talent. The first part of it is trying to find the skill set that matches and the type of people that match to bring into the organization. But the other side of it is that once we get them there, we have to keep them there, and we have to keep the ones that we already have. Otherwise, we're always bailing out a leaky boat. And, you know, we're never going to be able to stop bailing out that leaky boat if we don't first fix that hole. So we have to make sure that the folks we have on site aren't going to be leaving. There was an article that was in the Wall Street Journal last week that said a survey was done of people who went through the Great Resignation over the last 2 years, left one employer and went to another. Upwards of 70% regret their decision.
Oh my.
So hopefully we can let folks know the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And we want to make sure that you understand that, you know, this is what we have to offer here. We want your feedback. We want your input. Let's see how we can change things and enhance things for you. But we'd love for you to be able to stay because you're making a career out of this as opposed to this just being a job or a stepping stone.
Absolutely, 100%. And as you know, employee needs are evolving. So, and are continuing to evolve quite a bit as a result of the pandemic. What are some of the biggest changes in employee needs and expectations that businesses have encountered?
Well, I think as time has gone along and employees have gotten used to different things, they're looking for more flexibility. They're looking for, at least in circumstances where it can work, at least a hybrid environment where they can work at home some of the time and work in the workplace some of the time. Their needs have changed over time, whether it's more life-work balance. A lot of people say work-life balance, and I think companies are good if they start to focus on life-work balance instead and focusing on the fact that work is just a part of life, and we have to make sure that all of it fits in together. But with some of those expectations that employees now are demanding of their workplaces, they need to make sure that they're at least listening to the employees. I think too often, people in organizations try to figure out what's best for employees, what they want, without asking them. And you'll see that where HR sometimes gets involved and you create this new benefit for, you know, paying for daycare. Well, two people use it out of 200. Was it really worth the time to spend all that energy and effort and money on a benefit that will have a very low percentage of usage? You know, and so instead, what we want to do is we want to have those conversations with the employees, understand what they're looking for, why they show up every day, and make sure that we're meeting their needs where they are right now.
Absolutely right. And I like that life work balance.
Right. It's a different concept to add on. You know, not every situation is amenable to being able to have a hybrid work environment. Manufacturing, right. Distribution, retail, hospitality. You can't do the core parts of those industries from home. You have to be on site. So employees still want something different. So they're having to figure out what is it that we can offer to our employees? Is it a more flexible work schedule? Is it, you know, maybe longer days for 4 days of the week and you have 3 days off in between? Right. So it's still trying to figure out where can we meet the employees at their need.
Exactly. And that kind of takes us into our next question. How are companies evolving to meet these new employee expectations?
Well, some are changing. Some are listening to those employees and some are figuring out, what is it I need to do? There are others that are just going with the status quo. And I think you'll see turnover rates and attrition rates with employees and struggle in hiring. You'll see that greater with those who don't want to make a change or who only focus on getting back to the way it was. We all know at this point, 2 years into this, a little over 2 years into this, that we're not going to get back to the way it was. And things have changed. So we have to make sure our organizations continue to evolve. You know, it's funny, sometimes companies will evolve their products, should evolve their products based on what their clients are looking for, what their customers are looking for. Things change for them on the usage, on the consumer side. And so we have to meet them where they are. But too often companies won't do the same thing for their employees. And when they do that, they're going to be missing the boat and be losing out just like they would on the customer side. Mm-hmm. You know, the old adage is, what's more important, the customers or the employees? I don't think it's a zero sum game. I don't think it's one where you have to say one is better than the other. I think both are critically important because without both, you're not going to have an organization.
This definitely is causing us to kind of refocus and look at both sides of the spectrum. So with the current talent crisis that we are facing, there are more open jobs looking for people than people looking for jobs. Additionally, in a recent survey conducted by the Florida Chamber Foundation's Florida Workforce Needs Study 2.0, nearly 72% of Florida's leaders have informed us that they have struggled to find qualified talent over the past year. What are your general thoughts on the talent crisis in Florida and why employers are struggling to find qualified talent?
I think one of the reasons why employers are struggling to find this qualified talent is because, particularly for those that can work from home, is because now Florida employers are no longer competing only with Florida employers. If it's a work from home situation, they're now competing with businesses all across the nation. So you've got more and more people, more and more companies recruiting inside of Florida where they can tell their employees, you can stay in Florida, you're just going to work for us remotely. Mm-hmm. So the talent pool in Florida has stayed the same. However, the number of people going into that talent pool and looking for talent and pulling employees out of there has grown exponentially because you just see the number of organizations around the nation that are struggling and trying to fill their positions. Mm-hmm. I think the other side is employers continue to look for specific skill sets that may not always be found locally. So mm-hmm. Florida employers also need to do the same thing, where they have the ability to be able to do a hybrid work environment or do a work from home environment. I think they have to cast their net wider than just the state of Florida. I think the employers have to look outside of the state as well. Now, the enticement is to bring them to Florida and have people come to Florida. And we've got people moving here every single day. But one of the things that we need to do, and one of the struggles, the reasons that they're struggling is because maybe their skill sets have narrowed to the nth degree to where they're only looking for this very specific skill set instead of broadening that out. The other thing, and the other reason that there's a challenge, is because the workforce has changed. People mm-hmm. have left the workforce. New people have entered the workforce. You've got different generations that have decided, I don't want to be a part of the workforce anymore. I want to be retired. I want to move out. I think the way the economy has gone in the last couple months, a number of those people are coming back to the workforce and saying, you know what, I can't afford to stay retired. I wish I could, but I do have to come back to work. So I think there are challenges and those dynamics change on a very regular basis. So we just need to make sure that we understand what is it we can do to match the talent pool with the employers.
Absolutely. And speaking of matching the talent pool with the employers, a very important part of that is making sure that we secure partnerships in Florida to, you know, narrow those skills gaps that are in demand in the workforce. So what role would you say educational institutions, workforce development, and training organizations play in securing Florida's workforce?
They're a source for new employees and they're a source for the talent that we're looking for. You know, I know that you mentioned partnerships and it's absolutely part of that is that we need to make sure that they understand what employers are looking for. It's just like when a company goes and develops a program for employees without talking to the employees. It's similar to where an educational institution says, well, let's start this new program without talking to local employers or employers around the state to say, is this something that's going to be a benefit to you? Right. So just like the relationship between employer and employee is important, the relationship between educational institutions and the employers is just as important.
Absolutely. And the Florida Chamber Foundation has been ramping up its efforts to encourage these partnerships and has been also advocating for training and curriculums that will help build that more qualified talent pool for Florida. In this podcast, you have the ears of fellow HR leaders and hiring managers. Why are these partnerships so important for creating a better equipped talent pipeline for Florida?
Well, we've got, according to the Florida Chamber Foundation, we've got 900 people moving to the state of Florida every day. And we have talent that's coming in every day. But we're not specifying what talent it is we need. We're taking whoever's coming in. So there are going to be other specific needs that we have. We have to, the business has to continue to look at their strategies, continue to look at their strategic goals, understand where they want to be in 3 to 5 years. When they do that, they then need to, it's incumbent upon HR leaders to make sure that they identify where's the talent gap, what are we missing, and then to partner with these educational institutions to say, here's what we're looking for. Now, sometimes employers say, well, I need this higher level thing. I need this someone who's got all these years experience. Well, that means that an educational institution, whether it's a state college or a state university or private schools, can take a look and say, well, what can we offer at a graduate level or an MBA level? What is it that we can bring into the organization or bring into the community so organizations have that talent pool? But we also have those new and emerging markets and targets and things that we're looking for, where it might be the entry level, it might be the skilled trades that we need more of in certain areas, that we can take a look at these educational institutions starting in high school level and going up through there to say, here's what we need. So it's important that we identify, as employers, we identify what it is that we're going to be needing in the future, and then help make sure that these educational institutions, these partners that we have, understand what it is we're looking for. Now, it's not the fix for tomorrow, but it's the fix for 2 and 3 years down the road.
So what would you say are the most important elements in making these partnerships successful?
Well, I think there's 4 parts to this. The most important elements in making these partnerships successful is, first, communications. There has to be the communication that goes back and forth, whether it's facilitated by someone else like the Florida Chamber or the HR Florida State Council, or it's done between an employer and a local institution. Second is relationships. There has to be an ongoing relationship. It can't be a one-time send an email. Hey, by the way, can you start this? Great, thanks. Talk to you in another few years. There has to be a relationship that's built out of there. And when you have that relationship, then you can get to the third point, which is commitment. When we take a look at commitment, is the employer committed to the community? Is the employer committed to the program that this educational institution is developing and creating? And the feedback that goes back and forth with that. And then finally, the fourth is mutual benefit. If this is going to work, it's got to work for all parties. You know, we have to make sure that we meet the mission of the business. We have to make sure we meet the mission of the educational institution. And when we put all 4 of these things together, that's when we can have a robust program that survives more than just a few months and thinking it's a long-term thing that each can play off the other. The business can say, if you don't have the skills, we can help you in this education and gain the skills. And the educational institution can say, come in if you're interested in this. We also partner with an employer where you can go get an immediate job right after you're done with the education.
So HR Florida has the Workforce Readiness Initiative, in which the goal is to provide resources for Florida's HR professionals and employers to successfully address workplace challenges and changes. This includes promoting partnerships with Veterans Florida, the Florida Department of Economic Opportunities, Florida Ready to Work program, and more. Can you tell us a little bit about workforce readiness and any other partnerships with Florida's workforce resources that HR Florida has been advocating for?
Absolutely. One of the things that HR Florida has been doing the past few years is focusing on our very own mission and vision statement. And our vision statement is to lead the way and make Florida the best place to work. So we focus on that. You notice we don't mention HR or human resources in that vision because we're focusing on working in Florida and the employer-employee relationship. And we do that through our mission statement. And our mission is we serve, we advise, and we empower Florida workforce communities through education, partnerships, and connections. Again, we don't mention human resources. We mention the Florida workforce communities because that's how broad it is. And so what we're trying to do is we're always trying to find different partnerships that we can facilitate from a state level, but help implement on a local level. So in addition to Veterans Florida and Department of Economic Opportunities, Florida Ready Program, we also partner with other organizations like CareerSource, and there are either federal, state, or local organizations that we also partner with. Our goal is to make sure that they're implemented on that local level, because when you look at it, it's the individual employers that are looking for those partnerships, and our goal is to help make those happen. We've seen success in a number of these programs. One of them that hasn't been mentioned yet is ESGR, which is the Employer Support of the Garden Reserve. It's a Department of Defense program, but it's implemented on a very local level. And there are opportunities for individual communities or our SHRM chapters to be able to work with ESGR to support a particular initiative that might be happening. And as you know, Florida is a huge military community. And so we're focusing on those, and ESGR's focus is the Guard and the Reserve. So it's not necessarily the active duty who are there all the time, but it's the National Guard, the Florida National Guard, and it's those who are part of the reserves when they're called up, when they have to go do things, when they're part of the reserve duty, and making sure all of those segments happen. Our goal is to make sure that we are helping facilitate that.
So the Florida Department of Corrections has been working to create partnerships and develop resources for the Florida business community to reacclimate inmates into the workforce. What is the value for Florida's job creators in partnering with FDOC in these efforts?
Well, there is a great source of talent that's out there that's usually untapped. And those are those folks who are formerly incarcerated. They're the ones who are trying to reintegrate back into society. So recently, we've been partnering with the Department of Corrections and their programs to get people who are ending their sentences and trying to get back into the community. They're doing training in-house. They are doing other programs to help make sure they have a skill set that's ready. Well, now businesses can partner with them to say, here's the talent that we're looking for. Here's the skill set that we need. Can you help us? And they can help develop that with the folks who are currently incarcerated. So that way, when they step out, they're going to be able to get a job. Sometimes they know what job they're going to get before they even leave custody. We've also partnered on a national level with the Getting Talent Back to Work program. And this was an initiative that was started. SHRM was a part of that. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce was a part of that, and a lot of other organizations to help businesses understand how they could integrate some of these folks who have a criminal record, who formerly incarcerated, who are trying to come back into society. So this does a number of different things. It helps provide a new talent pool for employers. It helps ensure, and it also helps ensure that the community has folks who are coming back in and are value added to the community. And it helps reduce recidivism rates. And folks don't go back to the prior life that they had if they've got full-time employment, if they've got money coming in, if they have security, they have food, they have shelter, they have transportation. All of those things come into play when we do this the right way. On top of that, there's also the work opportunity tax credit that employers can get. It's one of those things that are out there that if you meet certain guidelines, you can actually get some money or save some money off of your taxes based on every person that you do hire that you're reintegrating back into the community.
That's great. Definitely good information for Florida's employers. And as you know, Florida is expected to grow by approximately 3.5 million more residents by 2030, and will need about 1.6 million net new jobs to fulfill current workforce needs and to prepare for those new Floridians that will call Florida home. What would you say is needed to ensure Florida is able to meet those demands?
You know, I think to meet the demands of the growing workforce and the growing population, employers need to spend more time forecasting and planning out what the future is going to look like. We have to settle the issues that are at hand right now and today, but we have to spend more time figuring out what is it that we're going to need in the next few years. That's identifying the skill set, that's identifying the number of people that we need, the areas that we're going to be in, the areas of growth that we want to be able to have. If we spend more time focusing on that, we're going to be better off as a state, as a workforce within the state, because we know what we're looking for. You know, we've talked about the fact that these partnerships, they're great. We need them to happen, but they don't produce results overnight. It takes time to be able to produce these results, whether it's education, whether it's partnering with the Department of Corrections, with Veterans Florida or ESGR. Those things take time to implement. And once they're implemented, we can, you know, move full force with them and we can see the benefits, but we have to put forth that effort now.
Exactly. Spoken right out of the Florida 2030 blueprint and putting the long term ahead of the short term, Chad. So as we wrap up here, I just want to ask you, is there anything else you would like to share with Florida's business leaders, hiring managers, and our education, workforce, and training partners on the importance of us presenting this united front to tackle Florida's talent crisis?
I think the biggest thing that we have to understand is that you don't have to go it alone. There are a lot of resources that are out there. Too often, talent management and recruitment come down to a single person within an organization, and they feel like the weight of that organization's on their shoulders because the C-suite says, we need these bodies, we need them right away. Where are they? Why can't you find them right away? Or it's business owners who are trying to do it on their own and trying to figure out how do we do this on our own. So there's organizations like the Florida Chamber of Commerce or HR Florida that can help. There are organizations on a national level like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and SHRM, and there are organizations on a local level like individual chambers of commerce and the 28 chapters that HR Florida has throughout the state, the individual SHRM chapters. There are people out there who are ready and willing to help. There are resources that are out there. And all we have to do, or as all businesses need to do and employers need to do, is reach out, look for those resources, and they're going to be there to help you along the way. You're not going it alone. There are a lot of different things that are here in Florida that are able to help you succeed as we move forward.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chad, for joining us today and talking about the importance of us all uniting to make things good in Florida.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Thank you for joining us for today's Future of Work Florida podcast. To find out more about the resources discussed in today's segment, we invite you to visit our website at flchamber.com/Future of Work Florida. Together, we can champion the future of work and create America's best workforce right here in Florida. Be sure to subscribe for future content.